All right, everybody, welcome back. Bio Bros, episode 12. This one is plant diseases, but mostly pets. Pests, not pets. Sorry about that one. Mostly pests that you're going to deal with, because there's really not a lot of diseases that are common. If you have a disease, you're getting into that rare thing. It's viruses and all that are not, they're around, but not really. So
mostly outdoor plants get them.
Yeah, outdoor plants get them a lot more, but this is more house plants, terrarium plants, vivarium plants, all that. So this is things that we've actually all dealt with, all of these here at some point, and been able to see them, and not terribly hard to treat, but you do need to get on them before they get out of hand, because once it gets out of hand, it's a problem. So I will start us off with my very first one. One that everybody's probably seen at some point, the pest guy that comes to your house and knocks on your door and bothers you, probably will tell you you have these without even looking at your plants, is spider mites. There's tons of different species of these things, and they feed on plants with little pointy mouths, and they suck the juice out of your plants. They're like vegan mosquitoes, essentially. They create these little web-like structures all over your plants, so that's where they get the name spider mites, because they seem to make a web. It's not a web to trap anything. It's kind of like a silkworm silk more than anything. They're really annoying. They will suck the life out of your plants. They'll wilt your leaves, look bad. You do not want these things around. They reproduce incredibly quickly. You'll have a couple, and next thing you know, your entire plant is just looks like it's been decorated for Halloween. Not fun to deal with, but it's not that hard. First and foremost on treatment is physical removal. You just blast them with the hose. Take your plants, just blast them with water, physically remove and knock off as many of those mites as you possibly can. Do that for, if it's not a bad case, do that every day for like a week, and you might be able to get them under control. If that's not working, or you want to take the more extreme route right out the gate, insecticidal soaps and oils, those are really good. Things like neem oil, you'll see, but there's a bunch of different kinds, so I'm staying pretty general with it because they all have slightly different uses and all that. Or predatory bugs like lace wings and things like that will take care of them. Some people will keep predatory bugs, just an established population of them, in greenhouses and things of sort, just to constantly battle things like spider mites.
Yeah, I can personally also say they are not fun. I've had them in a lot of things. They just kind of show up and you're like, well, darn it.
They love alocasia. I don't think I've ever seen alocasia without spider mites, at least at the store. I know people who keep fancy ones and are very into them are good at keeping them away. But you go to Home Depot, dude, their alocasia always have spider mites.
I will ravage an alocasia.
Love them.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just gonna bring you into your first one, unless you had something to add on the spider mites. They're pretty straightforward.
Yeah, spider mites are pretty straightforward. The first one I'm gonna do is it's also gonna be pretty straightforward. This one's less so of a pest, as in like it's not gonna bother your plant, but it's still a pest to you. So I'm starting off with fungus gnats. Will they have any effect on your plant? No. They won't hurt the plants. They don't chew on them. They don't kill them. Anything like that. But they are annoying to have in your house. Main causes of them is if you're watering too much or keeping the soil too damp for too long, because they have to have that moisture for their eggs to hatch. And they will just lay, basically the way they come or show up is they lay eggs in your potting mix or in your pot in the soil. And as long as it's wet enough, the eggs will hatch and then just start coming out and flying around. Best ways to get rid of them, to get rid of the flying ones, sticky traps, like the little yellow sticky traps are really good. They'll catch them and stuff. Or if you want to go a more like natural root, Shaw will like this. Drosera and things like that are great at catching fungus gnats.
Actually, a little controversial on that one. They are great at catching them. My Drosera and Pinguicula and stuff are constantly covered in little gnats like that in my tent. But I don't think they're do good enough. I think they put a little dent in your population, but I wouldn't fully rely on them. They are nice to have around if you've mostly beaten them, right? You don't have an infestation with them. They just show up every so often. I think they're good. Maybe we'll call it preventative. They're good preventative because things like fungus gnats are almost always going to be around, just how many. But if you have an infestation, I don't think that's...
No, yeah. I mostly meant just for getting the flying ones out of the air. Because they
are good at it.
Yeah, and the real best way to treat them, at least one of the best ways I've ever seen, is if you get these little, like, donut-shaped things, they're called mosquito bites. They sell them at, like, hardware stores and, like, Lowe's, Home Depot, all of them. They'll all have them. And you break them up and put them in, dissolve them in water, and then just water your plants with that. It'll kill all the fungus gnats. It kills the eggs, kills everything. There will be no more fungus gnats in your soil after you water with that stuff. And it's perfectly safe for animals. It's safe to use in terrariums, safe to use in... People have used it in fish tanks and stuff like that, and it does not harm the animals. It just harms the fungus gnats.
I believe it'll harm shrimp. I believe.
Yes, it might. Well, I don't know if it harms the shrimp specifically, or if it just messes with the water so much for them. Actually, no, it probably does harm the shrimp specifically, because they're kind of like an insect.
Yeah, I believe it messes with the babies, because that's how that works. It targets the babies, and I know it physically kills them somehow. Like, it's, I don't remember the exact on that one, but I believe it'll affect shrimp. So if you have an outdoor pond with shrimp in it, I think it will affect how they breed. I believe. That's just off the dome. I don't think that is fact. But it is overall safe. Like, I have definitely seen people use that in outdoor tubs that they were using to breed aquarium fish in that were getting full of mosquitoes, which reproduce in a very similar way to the fungus gnats, and it will kill them as well, and been just fine. So that is definitely a solid treatment.
Yeah, and I've seen a lot of people using it for, like, dart frog tanks and stuff like that, where it's constantly damp. It doesn't hurt the frogs, so it's perfectly safe to use with them.
Yeah, if someone doesn't hurt dart frogs, it's not going to hurt anything. Those things are very sensitive to chemicals.
Yeah.
All right, but speaking of other things that are sensitive to chemicals, mealybugs. These are little white, soft-bodied bugs. You're not really going to ever see them move. They just show up and just be this little fuzzy thing on your leaves. They like to get into the really annoying, hard-to-reach areas and, like, little crevices in your plants. They're quite annoying. And they look ugly. They look bad. You don't like them. They look like mold almost on there. And they feed similarly to spider mites, and they'll cause weak leaves and just general unhappiness in your plants. You'll see leaves dying, not growing as big. It's just, you don't really want them. Again, very similar to spider mites. His best treatment is physical removal. If you have really bad ones, spray them off with water. But since they like to get in those little crevices, that's not really the best way to physically remove them. What I like to do, because I deal with them sometimes from time to time, is I get a Q-tip and I put it in rubbing alcohol and you just tap the mealybugs with it. Since they're soft-bodied, it dries them right out and they die. So I just tap them. I find them, tap them with a little bit of alcohol, gets right rid of them. But that's good if you only have a couple. If there's just a few on your plants and you just go around once a week or so, check, make sure there's none. If you see one, zap it. But if you got a bad infestation of them, going back to the horticultural soap and oils, those are going to be your best bets. They're not too dramatic. They're not going to affect anything else. They're fairly safe, and mealybugs are pretty good at dying. They're, all things considered, pretty weak, even though they're annoying and reproduce pretty quickly and will cover all your plants. They're fairly easy to kill. They're just one that you have to stay ahead of before you get behind, similar to spider mite.
Yeah, and from my personal experience, they can cause, like, weak leaves and things like that in plants, but they don't tend to affect plants super negatively. At least I've never really had them do it. Like, whenever I've had mealybugs, there's they're mostly like ugly, but then the plant was still doing perfectly fine. I also have never had like an absolute ton of them or anything, but I think from what I've heard and like read and stuff too, like if you don't have like an absolute massive infestation and like kind of keep it under wraps, they're not really going to affect your plant too badly.
Yeah, they're not going to be nearly as damaging as even the spider mites. Like the spider mites, like let's say you have a few of them, you go on vacation for a week and come back, the spider mites might have taken out your plant. Mealybugs, that's probably not the case. They are annoying, and they definitely can cause problems. And I've had outdoor plants get taken out by mealybugs. It is a real thing, but they're a lot easier to deal with. Like I said, when I get them at all, because I have a couple plants that are right by doors, and so sometimes outdoor pests will get on them, I just zap them with that Q-tip with alcohol on it, and they go right away. And I haven't had any negative effects on those. But they are really common. With them, it's almost more of a matter of when, not if.
Yeah. Now, for my second one, I am going to go into one that is not as common. I mean, it's still pretty common, but it is much more of a problem towards your plant's health. And so I'm going to do, second one is going to be slugs. And when I say slugs, most people think of those big old slugs you see in the backyard or like in your garden, things like that. Well, in house plants, normally those aren't the ones you're going to see. You could see those and stuff, but normally they're these little tiny slugs that are like maybe a centimeter or two long, if that. They're tiny little things. But like a good tell or like a good sign that you have slugs is your plants look like something has absolutely ravaged them overnight. They love anthuriums. So if you have anthuriums and new leaves coming out and they look like they've been halfway chewed from by something, it's probably slugs. And the best remedy that I have found is a product called Sluggo. It's basically these little pellets, and you just put it some in each of your pots, and just the slugs come out, they get attracted to it, they eat it, and it kills the slugs. It's also safe to use with pets, and even in, like, I've seen people using dart frog tanks again. It's a good product, again, safe for household pets and stuff. If it's safe for dart frogs, it's safe for household pets. But it will kill the slugs. And slugs are really just you have to keep working at it until you're not seeing slug damage and stuff anymore. Because, like, I had them in a grow tent, never saw the slugs, but it took a good couple of months before I stopped seeing damage on my leaves from slugs. Even though I never saw them, there was still a lot in the tank, in the grow tent. So you just gotta keep putting Sluggo out over and over again until you're not seeing damage anymore.
Yeah, what I'll toss in there is snails too.
Yeah.
They're basically the same. Garlic snails are your main ones. Don't know why they call them garlic snails, but they do. They're really, really tiny. I have a few that pop up every so often, but for some reason, I've never had issues with them. They've just haven't caused me any problems. I found one that got caught in a Drosera one time. Didn't think that was possible. I thought they'd be too slimy, but apparently that happened. So that's another one they'll get you. The garlic snails don't seem to be too damaging. The slugs, those will tear you up, but the treatment's the same. They're essentially the same. One has a shell, one doesn't, but that's all I really have on that.
Yeah, they slugs I've had destroy some very nice new leaves, and I have a very much so high disdain for slugs.
Alright. Now, my last one, this is the only one that's not bug or bug adjacent, really, in this whole top six list we have here. It's root rot. So it's an infection. Most of the time it's a fungus. I'm not going to say all of the time, but it's a fungus that attacks the roots of the plants, and most of the time caused by overwatering, and it'll cause stunted leaves and general unhappiness in your plants. Which we're going to cover what general unhappiness looks like after we're done with all of this, because I think that's really the biggest disease in plants. And the way you get rid of this root rot is reduce your watering. I like to repot. If my plants are really unhappy like that, and I think that might be the case, I like to repot them just into all new soil, and then I can examine the roots as well. And if it's really bad, you can remove the rotted portions of that, or you can even spray, or in addition to it, spray hydrogen peroxide on the roots. If it's a bad case, I would only recommend that for bad ones or for cuttings. If you're trying to root some cuttings, the same kind of infection that causes root rot will get on the plant itself. And so you might have to treat that with a little hydrogen peroxide. I did that on a Monstera albo back in a while ago. It started wanting to rot on me, get some fungus action. So I sprayed it peroxide, that fixed it right up, and it rooted just fine. But root rot is a hard one to diagnose sometimes because you don't necessarily know what's happening. Just overwatering is the main cause. If you're watering your plants a lot and they're not doing well, try to cut it back and see what happens.
Yeah, I don't have a ton of experience with root rot, but I know monsters are a big one that run into it a lot. And like Charles was saying, it is almost always a fungus, and it doesn't happen in things like if you have like the monster planted in a fish tank, like where it's just the roots and like pure water. It's mostly happens when they're sitting in soil or like leca or something like that. Something that's not constantly moving in exchange of oxygen and stuff going past it all the time.
Yeah, the oxygen like exchange is huge. And yeah. Even more specifically, the type of fungus is usually an anoxic fungal infection, which means no oxygen. That's to be even more specific about it. But yeah, so if you have, that's why every so often you'll see people who have water rooting setups. So they're just rooting plants in straight water. They'll have aerators in there to keep the water moving and keep oxygen content high. Makes it harder for that fungus to grow. That's also a big reason you hear people say, think pot in chunky soil, because that creates air pockets and air can flow through there and reduces rot.
Yeah.
But yeah, rots. I've definitely rotted a few plants. Usually cuttings rot on me. Not too often plants that I have that are established rot, but I have bought some that have had rot in there and everything. Something to watch out for. It's not that big of a deal unless you let it eat your entire plant's roots.
No, yeah. And a good sign for, like, if you're looking for root rot, or especially if you get a plant from a box store, always repot it. Like, if you get a plant from, like, Lowe's or Walmart or Home Depot, repot it. Because they just planted cheap coconut core in it. It's horrible soil and also very highly to get root rot in it. And a good way to look at roots and be able to kind of tell if they're, like, brown or really dark, like black or brown, and they're squishy, just cut them off. And that's a rotted root. And at that point, if they're like squishy, there's no saving that root. It's better to just cut it off.
Yeah, that's definitely good advice on that one. Just get rid of it. It's fine. Yeah. Once it's squishy and black, and you can smell it too. Sometimes you smell the plants, and I don't really know how to describe the smell, but you'll know.
Yeah, you will know as soon as it happens.
It makes itself obvious.
Yeah.
All right. Now we're going to move on to the big one here. The last one. The worst one. This is every plant keeper's nightmare.
Yeah. My last one is thrips. And thrips, like Shaw said, just about every plant keeper's nightmare, because not only are they a pain to get rid of, they're super easy to get. They also can go unnoticed for a long time, and they can actually change the genetic makeup of part of your plant, causing weird variegation, stunted plant leaves, all kinds of stuff like that. Like, it can actually change the genetic makeup of your plants, or at least part of it.
One of my favorite examples ever is the variegated Imidrium medium. If you look that up, give that a Google search. Here, I'll look it up with you guys. Because I don't have it at hand. But it's actually thrip damage. Now that plant survived and then was isolated, and now it has variegation in it, and it just looks sick. So I'm a big hater on variegated plants. Not my thing, really. No shame if they're yours. But the running joke is variegated plants look sick. And it's because some of them literally are, because these thrips are so damaging that they permanently altered this plant. These variegated Imidrium, they literally are damaged plants. They're just thrip damage, even though they've been treated and haven't had thrips in years and years for a lot of them. But you look them up and you're like, oh yeah, that thing does look a little wilted and odd shaped compared to the normal ones. And that's literally how it goes. Like, they will do it. And not to steal Alex's spotlight, but that's a sign of thrips, is a weird variegated leaf.
They're also, the other thing that's really bad about them is, so in their adult form, they're a little slender insect with fringed wings, and they can, if you have your plants all in your house, or say in one room and you have some in another room, the adults can fly out of that room, go to the other room, and infest all of those plants in the other room as well. So I actually had them, I've had them twice. Once in a grow tent, and then once last year I had them in my just my house plants. And they're not a super easy thing to get rid of either. It's not super difficult. It just depends the route you want to go. So you can do one of two things basically. You can get predatory mites, if you want to go the natural route. And you get these little packets, put them on all, like basically put one packet on every single plant you have. And these predatory mites will hatch, come out, eat the thrips, and continue on with life. Now that is going to take a lot more time. It's a lot slower of a process, and it's a lot more difficult to get all of the thrips because, like I said, they can get wings and fly. So the predatory mites are not going after the adults, they're going after the juveniles and the babies there on the plant. And basically, a good way to see them on the plant, they're normally like an orangey yellow color, and they look like they're smaller than a grain of rice, but they look like little tiny grains of rice, basically. That orange and orangey yellow color is a dead giveaway that it's thrips. So the second way you can get rid of them is using a why am I blanking on the name? It's an insecticide, but it's a
Systemic. There.
Systemic insecticide, which that stuff does not smell good. I will straight up warn you now, it smells bad. But basically, what you have to do, take all your plants outside or to your garage or wherever, spray down the entirety of the plant, all the stems, both sides of the leaves, even spray the soil a little bit. At least that's what I did. Then let that dry off. And once it's dry, then you can bring the plant back in. That's the easiest way to get rid of them. I did it earlier last year. Well, I did it last year, and it took one treatment, and thrips were gone. The only other thing
That
with
stuff
this
is
is.
super toxic, though.
Yeah, you can't use it in anything that has animals in it. You can't use it in anywhere animals might be going around licking or eating plants, because like you can easily poison your animal just by them eating the plant that you sprayed with this stuff. Or even just if it's like a reptile or a frog, them touching it or licking it can kill them. So
Yeah,
do not use this with animals.
I wouldn't even want to use it if, so I had a scare with thrips, I believe it was just springtails, very recently, in my grow tent, which is 6 feet away from me right now. I wouldn't even want to use that in my tent because it's right next to where I sleep. I'm not messing with that. I would take my plants out individually and treat them in a different environment. It's very, very toxic stuff, but it
Yeah.
does work. It Nobody's gonna say its effectiveness is not gonna work. Like it's a nuclear option. It's
Yeah, it was one
real good at
treatment and they were
killing.
all gone. But it's, I mean, when you're using it, wear gloves, wear masks. I was wearing a rest like a dust respirator because I was like, I'm not playing these games. I'm not even risking it. Because that stuff is it's a pesticide basically. It's a very toxic chemical, but like Shaw was saying, it's a nuclear option. I mean, it's last resort, one and done. Those thrips are gonna be dead.
That stuff will kill anything that's not a plant. If you're not a plant, it's you're dying. So it's, I mean, it's good at what it does, but be careful with that. I would start off with predatory mites. Try that first. If that doesn't work, then break out the big guns. But very last thing I want to
Ooh,
touch on.
I
Oh,
want to
sorry,
say
I'll let you go
one
after.
more thing. Sorry.
Yeah, of course.
With thrips, I do not recommend using the like granulars or like things that people just put in the soil and stuff for like because it you put it in the soil and then water it and then it gets into the roots and goes into the plant. So that does it can work, but it can also cause. This is the other thing with thrips that sucks. If it doesn't fully work, and it actually makes it to where some thrips survive, they can become what people call super thrips. And if it's super thrips, nothing's killing them. Not even the systemic insecticide will kill them at that point. They basically become immune to that kind of stuff, and then essentially the only way to do it is bag the plant up and throw it away. And
Or
start from
hope your
scratch.
predatory mites do enough.
Yeah, and even then, the super thrips seem to be. Basically, I've heard of people who had thousands of dollars in collections lose their entire collection to super thrips within like a matter of weeks.
Thrips are terrifying. But
Yeah,
all right,
they're horrible.
now we'll go into the last bit here, which is just general unhappiness. This isn't a disease or a pest or anything. But most of the things that I see people have wrong with their plants are just, like, say it fairly bluntly, them being bad at taking care of their plants, which is all of us, me included. I've almost
Yeah, one
killed
point or another.
almost all of my favorite plants, or I have killed some of them.
Interesting.
So if you have too bright of light, your plants are gonna, your leaves are gonna change colors on there, depending on what species of plant it is. Usually they'll turn yellow and sunburn and fall off and die. Now you burned your plant to death. Or your plant's not getting enough light. Leaves are going to turn yellow. Plant's going to die. So overwatering, same thing. If you're overwatering, you're probably going to get root rot. And then your plant's going to die. It's not going to be happy. If you're underwatering, same thing's going to happen. Like all A lot of the symptoms that we were saying about these, where you see and you're like, oh, look, they have yellow, weak leaves. Yellow, weak leaves aren't necessarily always caused by a parasitic insect or anything like that. They're just caused by general unhappiness. And so that's what I always start with. If I see a plant acting funny, the first thing I do is say, it's probably my fault. And I usually will just move the plant. I'll start with that. And I'm going to move you to a different spot. You have a little better, a little different humidity and lighting conditions and all that. And then if that's not working, I would check watering. I'm like, okay, is it dry? Is it wet? What's going on with this thing? And then I usually will look for something. I'll do a real close inspection for pests. But usually I'm right. I recently did it to my Nepenthes veitchii. So one of my favorite plants. Really good plant. I had it in a spot where it just was not happy. It started throwing out tiny pitchers. Leaves weren't getting bigger. It didn't have any red on it anymore. And it was stripy. It was a really nice one. And I was like, what is going on with this thing? So then I just moved it. I was like, I'm going to move it to a different place. And it's way happier now. It's put out pitchers that are twice the size of the previous ones. Color's back. It's growing way, way better. So it was definitely just my fault that that plant was not doing very good.
Yeah, another thing, just general unhappiness, is if you have a plant that's like, it seems almost stagnant, like you haven't gotten a new leaf in forever, it's just kind of sit there. Repot it. Or like take the soil off of it. Because there's a good chance that, especially if it's a large or like a bigger plant, that it's root bound. It's like I've had that happen a lot where I've gone to repot it and been like, oh, so this thing is just roots at this point in the pot. And if, as soon as I repotted it, started putting out new leaves, started looking better, flowering, everything, because it's just they're needing that space.
The good old ramen noodle roots.
Yeah.
It's a lot of that stuff's just general unhappiness and just change it up, you know? Check your temperatures, your humidity, your lighting. See what that is. Especially if you're not seeing like visual pests, like spider mites and mealybugs, they make themselves pretty obvious. You can spot them fairly easily and you're like, there's your problem. But some of the other stuff too, like some of the things we didn't cover, because there's tons of different ones, like scale. Scale's harder to see. So you might not even necessarily realize it's there, but just move them around. Moving your plants has been the number one thing to help me. I have an unhappy plant. The first thing I do now is just move it. I'll move it or I'll repot it, and then I just see what happens. And usually I'm good. Usually that fixes everything that's wrong.
I've also actually had, I'm not like a big person of this, but like if I have a plant and its leaves are getting like caked in dust, wipe the leaves off, because that's going to be preventing it from photosynthesizing as well. I don't do that with a lot of my plants. Most of my plants, though, and most of your plants probably won't have that happen. But I've had a few plants that it's just, they're just in the right spot and they get absolutely caked in dust. And as long as I go by and wipe off the leaves every now and again, plant does great. But if you don't, and just keeps getting more and more dust, then it's stopping it from photosynthesizing. So that's something to look out for too.
Yeah, just make sure your conditions are good. And if they're all checking out and you moved it, you tried this and that and stuff's wrong, now do a real in-depth look and see what's happening. Because you might have something bigger going on if that's the case. But yeah, I was saying, like, I really think that general unhappiness is the biggest thing that I see. Just people not giving that plant what it needs. And that's plants can be picky. Like I have like 10 different Nepenthes now, and some of them I've moved into different conditions and they love it. And I've moved plants that were in those exact same conditions that this new one loved that were not happy and moved them to the conditions where the other one was unhappy. They were just fine. Both of them are technically lowland species. They just, for some reason, didn't like it. So you move them and see what happens. Sometimes plants get picky on you. Couldn't tell you why, but it just happens sometimes.
Yeah, some plants are just pickier than others, too.
Yeah. But, all right, I think that puts a good wrap on everything. If you made it this far, leave a comment. Follow us on Instagram. Do all that. push all the good buttons. And we will see you on the next one.
See y'all next week.